The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at an historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laugh as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
What's up? This your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the show, Ridiculous Historians. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is near and dear to my heart. I once upon a time had an obsessive relationship with lemonade, even down to like the etymology of it. Did you guys ever have a lemonade phase, or did you have a lemonade stand when you were kids? Oh, I'm Ben.
Oh, hey, Ben. You did. I'm assuming this means that you were a young lemonade entrepreneur. Is that accurate?
No, not at all.
No?
Mm-mm.
What did you sell? Like more like homemade napalm or something? Were you more of like an anarchist? Never mind. I don't know why I even said that. Go ahead.
You know, this is maybe a story for a different day, but on my way to becoming an Eagle Scout, I sure hit the street selling a lot of popcorn, which is the far inferior Boy Scout go-to sales thing. I mean, Girl Scouts ran the business with the cookies. That's just undeniable. I would have sold maybe lemonade. I don't know. Would people buy it? Did you sell anything as a kid?
I did the popcorn thing, but it wasn't for Boy Scouts. It was for like just fundraising at school, I want to say. Mm-hmm. You'd sell these like candied popcorn decorative tins, you know, for around the holidays, I want to say. Casey, what about you?
Super producer Casey Pegram.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I did the lemonade stand thing, and I don't know why. I thought I was going to be rich. Like, I was so psyched about it.
Yeah.
I was just like, man, I'm going to be rolling in the dough when this lemonade stand hits. And then I also had like a concession stand thing at my dad's office in the break room. It was just like a little cardboard box with like candy bars in it and like a little hole cut out to drop in like 50 cents or a dollar when you bought something. Totally honor system, but, you know, a little bit of entrepreneurial spirit as a kid.
That's awesome, dude. Was this around the same time as your child model days?
Yeah, probably just afterwards, you know, so that money wasn't coming in anymore. I had to find some other way to make ends meet. So, yeah.
You know, Casey, you always hear stories on like how I built this, you know, and shows like that where like famous entrepreneurs are telling how they got started. And so many of them are like, they figured out they cornered the market on like Ring Pops, you know, at a very early age.
Exactly.
And, you were one of those. Yeah, man, I don't know. I never had a particularly great sense of economics. But, you know, I've done okay. I had the gift of gab, I guess, and that got me somewhere.
The what? The gift of gab?
The gift of gab, you know? gabbing.
Do you think we have the gift of gab, or do you think?
Oh, absolutely. You have to have the gift of gab to be a even moderately successful podcaster, which I would think we at least qualify as moderately successful. But here's the thing. I love lemonade too, Ben. And I've always wondered, like, what is the deal with pink lemonade? Because you got your pink lemonade, but then you also have your raspberry lemonade, your strawberry lemonade, all the various, you know, types of Crystal Light-ified versions of lemonade, peach lemon, I don't know, different fruited lemonades. But pink lemonade really is its own thing. It doesn't really have a distinct flavor, and yet people seem to like it because it's like festive or something. Or I don't know. What do you think the deal is with why, what differentiates pink lemonade with regular lemonade, just in terms of like the optics of it from the consumer level?
Well, I hope we get to this today. I did some work on this back in my foodstuff days. Color has a tremendous psychological effect on human beings. The color of something doesn't just affect how much you eat of a given substance or drink of a given substance. It also affects how you perceive the taste. And it's weird. It's beyond psychology. There's some neurochemistry involved. But pink, what I like about that point is that pink is not a flavor, right? Everybody is probably thinking now of Danny DeVito's role as Frank Reynolds in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, where he spends one episode insisting that he only eats blue for his health, which to him is just blue stuff. Pink lemonade, to your point, there's like cranberry lemonade too. So what gives? What puts pink lemonade in this rarefied air? Ooh, this rarefied pitcher. Well, it turns out there's been a lot of research into pink lemonade. And everybody knows probably what we're talking about. It's a world famous phenomenon now. Here in the U.S., people often associate pink lemonade or lemonade in general with a company called Country Time. You guys remember Country Time lemonade?
Oh, yeah.
They're still out there. Maybe we'll even play, I apologize for pinging you guys with weird lemonade commercials leading up to this.
Well, I know what I want to taste a good old-fashioned lemonade.
Country Time! With natural lemon flavor.
Tastes like good old-fashioned lemonade.
Not too tart,
not too sweet.
Country Time lemonade flavor drink, unsweetened too.
Country Time, Country Time. Tastes like that good old-fashioned lemonade.
But maybe to start the story of how we got to pink lemonade, we can tell you that the origin may not be as wholesome or inspiring as you expect. It may be downright a circus, right? But the story of lemonade itself actually begins in the ancient Far East. A lot of people didn't know this. Lemons are from like India, China, and Myanmar or Burma.
That's right. And it was, you know, I mean, it's the kind of thing where there's literally an expression that says taking lemons and making lemonade, implying that a lemon in and of itself isn't like entirely useful, even though we know it is in terms of like vitamin C and, you know, staving off scurvy and the like for sailors or what have you. But yeah, I mean, it's not a far reach to think that it wouldn't take that much for someone to maybe put together that, oh, if I take this very sour, tart thing, mix it together with something sweet and a water it down, then I could have a refreshing drink. And the earliest examples of this kind of proto-lemonade, which would have been lemon juice mixed with sugar, dated back to medieval Egypt. There was a poet by the name of Nasir Ikusra who wrote about, he was kind of like, you know, your like blogger of 11th century Egypt. And he referenced a very popular drink called Kastarmazat. Katarmazat. I did my level best there. Probably my pronunciation will fluctuate as this episode goes on, but thankfully we're not talking about this period in lemonade for the whole episode. But yeah, it was freshly squeezed lemon juice. Often it was sweetened with either cane sugar, or I believe there were versions of it that were sweetened with honey as well. And it was a very popular drink that was sold in these like outdoor markets in Cairo. And then you had traders that would, you know, find out about these things and bring them back to their necks of the woods. And you started to see these recipes kind of emerge around the 13th century in Arabic cookbooks. And even like Genghis Khan's Mongol hordes enjoyed a splash of lemonade from time to time. Or as it was called, Tatarmazat, and they particularly enjoyed what we would now maybe refer to as spiked lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mike's spiked lemonade.
Yeah, I was actually writing a fake ad that I'm going to save for later or a different show with Genghis Mike's. Hard Kotormazat is like a Hard Mike's lemonade ad. But yeah, one of the many weird things associated with Genghis Khan in history is I'm pronouncing this the way you pronounce the country. So I'm saying Kotormazat.
Mm-hmm.
But a lemon by any other name is still a lemon, to grotesquely paraphrase some better writers than the three of us. As this global trade expands, lemonade becomes pretty hot in Europe. They like this stuff. They like these novelties, you know. People in France love it. And there's even a company of lemonadiers who form in the 1670s. They run around the streets of the fair metropolis. They sell lemonade by the glass directly from these backpacks. So these guys wouldn't be too out of place at a rave. You know what I mean? Centuries from the 1600s. And now, when we look at the spread of lemonade to the United States, we know that this is a popular drink in North and South America because one of the key ingredients, sugar, is readily available due to sugarcane. One of the cookbooks that's often considered the first U.S. cookbook or first truly American cookbook is The Virginia Housewife. And this book contains a recipe for what it calls iced lemonade. The reason I'm caveating this, by the way, folks, is that when I say a recipe for what it calls iced lemonade, this lemonade had eggs in it. Now, Casey, I don't think you did that at your stand, did you?
Absolutely not. No, we would never do such a thing.
Like 25 cents for a glass, 5 cents extra for some egg. Right?
No.
Well, wait. Was it like egg whites, kind of like a flip, like one of those fancy Prohibition era cocktails with like the egg, the frothy egg white on top? Because that could be good.
Like an egg cream?
Yeah. Well, egg cream, Ben.
The old ones. The old ones did have, I know what you're going to say. The old ones did have egg.
Is that true? I didn't know that. Like, I thought that my understanding is that the original egg cream was the old one, and it had neither egg nor cream.
Interesting fact here. According to Merriam-Webster, the term egg cream could be based on a corruption of a Yiddish word, but the name has been used since the early 1800s for multiple drinks that contain eggs and or cream.
Oh, okay. I got it. Well, I'm fascinated by the idea of just putting eggs in a lemonade drink. I mean, if that's you frothed weird. It up and like did a, you know, put it in a shaker or something, that could be cool. But I don't know, like you just crack an egg in it like you would, like if you were trying to, you know, do a weird flex as like a bodybuilder where you just like eat raw eggs. Is that kind of the idea?
I don't know. It probably results in more of a custard, something that we would think of more as like kind of a lemon custard versus a lemonade. But we know that people have all sorts of variations on the idea of lemonade.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Mint Mobile.
You know, Ben, I gotta say, one of the best parts about spring cleaning is that post-clean clarity you get where you're like, man, how have I been living like this? What's wrong with me?
You're right, Noel. It's kind of like when you find out you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan.
It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month.
To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
That's mintmobile.com/ridiculous. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only.
Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply.
See Mint Mobile for details.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
We know one of the reasons it became popular was not just the availability of sugarcane, but it was teetotalers. When people weren't drinking booze and were very against other people drinking booze, lemonade became sort of touted as a healthy alternative to the moral dangers posed by alcohol. And Lucy Webb Hayes, the first lady during the Hayes administration, was nicknamed Lemonade Lucy because she would ban booze at the White House, but people could drink lemonade. I was thinking about this. Sometimes people give the temperance movement in the earlier days of the U.S. a hard time. But over the years doing this show, looking at history in the early U.S., those people were drunk a lot, like a lot.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we always talk about like the Medes and stuff and the Vikings and all that. And the reason they were drunk so much is because regular old still water would like, you know, turn or they it would. This is like having fermented beverages was a assurance that it wasn't going to like go bad, because that was sort of like, you know, part of the draw was that it had basically gone bad. But yeah, so, you know, lemonade really did start to catch on in the U.S. And that kind of brings us to today's story of the creation, the creation myth, I guess, behind pink lemonade.
Mm-hmm. So we've got maybe we can laundry list a few theories that we're pretty sure are incorrect, right? Or maybe not the main story. So, Casey, I don't know what kind of game show laundry list of theories music there is, but that's your prompt. Perfect. Okay, one influence from pre-existing people on the continent, from Native American tribes. There's one theory that lemonade, pink lemonade specifically, is inspired by an ancient drink made with the berries of a specific type of sumac. They're bright red. They have a bright lemony citral flavor. And this drink is known as quala. And it has some similarities to pink lemonade. And it has that kind of tart flavor, and it's still used for ceremonial purposes, but it's different. You know what I mean? It doesn't taste like lemonade.
Does it get you super high?
I don't know. I don't know the ceremony there.
Okay. Well, we'll have to look into that a little further. I'm fascinated. Never heard of the idea of drinking sumac. When I think of sumac, I always think of poison sumac, which is, I guess, like a cousin of poison oak and poison ivy. But this would be the red berries of the sumac plant, which are presumably not poison, unless that's part of the ritual too. Unclear. But this is what we know.
I use sumac cooking Persian food. It's pretty dope.
Okay, good. I'll have to add that to my repertoire. But, you know, there's a lot of ways to get things pink in color, right? You could, and that's the thing, what I was getting at earlier too about pink lemonade was, is it just an aesthetic thing? Why call it pink lemonade if it's about the flavor, you know? To me, that denotes a certain attention paid to like the idea that it's sort of a gimmick. But like we said, there's lots of ways to make a drink pink. You could add other fruits that would absolutely change the flavor, like cherries or watermelon. You talked about sumac, hibiscus. That's a good one. But again, these are all, to me, I would call out the fruit here rather than calling it pink lemonade. I would say raspberry lemonade, cherry limeade, strawberry lemonade. These are all things. Mm. But that is the issue there. These all absolutely introduce new flavors. So they're not really considered to be the genesis of the straight up gimmick that is pink lemonade. Hmm. There are pink lemons, actually, but they were like, I believe, sort of like a crossbreed of another particular type of lemon, the yellow Eureka lemon tree. And you didn't really see those come around until the 30s. So, and also, like, you're sure it's called a pink lemon, but it doesn't squeeze bright pink juice.
Right.
So that's not going to do it either. Then we have the theory that takes sort of capitalism into consideration here with the idea of like the dye industry, the edible or drinkable dye industry, which has its own kind of pitfalls throughout history, like yellow number five making you like infertile or something, right?
And then there's the fourth theory that pink lemonade may have something in common with a cocktail popular in the 1850s, 1870s, around the time pink lemonade ascends into the national consciousness. Most historians date the appearance of pink lemonade in that two-decade period. Around the same time, British sailors were drinking something they called pink gin. It was made of Angostura bitters, and this was often a curative thing. People would drink it to stave off seasickness. And the dark red bitters, it wasn't a classy cocktail necessarily, just to be honest with you all. They took gin and they put these bitters in it. And the bitters are dark red, so they turned the gin to a different color. And then if you're super fancy and always still kind of fighting scurvy, then you throw a little lemon peel on there. And then that stuff is practically the same color as pink lemonade. And you see other like spiked lemonade ideas very similar to this showing up in bartending guides around 1900. And again, the bitters, I guess you could say, balances the tang of lemonade. And people will say sometimes they perceive pink lemonade to be more sweet and less sour. Or less tart than the normal lemonade variety. But still, none of those four theories we just named are widely accepted. Each of them has something that doesn't quite fit the bill here. If we want to go to the most likely theory for the origin of pink lemonade, we have to go to the circus.
Yes, indeed. Circuses and snacks, presumably bread. That would have been the original circus snack, right? Because those are the two things you had to give the people to keep them from rising up in the streets. But no, these were, you know, those circuses were more involving human slaughter. These were a little kinder and gentler with like clowns and, you know, midways and games you throw that are rigged, where you throw, you know, darts at balloons or like ping pong balls into goldfish bowls. They haven't really changed a whole hell of a lot since then. That's the old traveling carnival when it comes to town. A lot of those things still very much in play. But yeah, but those things often blur together, the circus versus the carnival, and they have a lot of the same little things. They have a lot of the same games, they have a lot of the same snacks, and they have a lot of the same popular beverages. And with the ice trade becoming a thing in the 19th century, iced drinks were all the rage. So you wouldn't really have a lemonade, what we think of today as a delicious, tart, cold glass of lemonade, if it hadn't have been for the innovation in the ice trade. And so lemonade really began to take off, because who doesn't love an ice cold glass of lemonade? I mean, it's one of my favorite things in the world. I really am a big fan of mixing lemonade half and half with iced tea. Don't like iced tea on its own one bit, but add a little half and half lemonade, make it what they call an Arnold Palmer in this part of the country anyway. And I'm sold. But you started to see people coming from miles away to see these circuses with, you know, things like everything from a trapeze situation, death-defying stunts. Of course, the very problematic freak shows were a thing. We've talked about this on a recent episode with contortionists and fire breathers and bearded ladies and the like. And, you know, all this was hard work, taking in all this excitement, not to mention seeing like elephants and animal, you know, tricks being done. You'd work up quite a thirst. So lemonade was their go-to. And it actually dates specifically back to a very one specific circus in 1879, mentioned in the West Virginia Wheeling Register, that gives us one of the possible true backstories of pink lemonade.
So I want to pause at this moment to say that this is a nicer version. The second version is my favorite, the real clown drink version. You'll see what I mean in a second. So these are both kind of legends.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done, outfit stunner, and my skin, I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah. It was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's and cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody. Like I was in Mad Max or something, you know?
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one. And that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it. So the Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
There's a guy named Henry E. Allott. Or Allott, A-L-L-O-T-T. He is a circus promoter, which means that he gets crowds to come to the circus and he probably rips off his performers because that was the world of circuses at the time. Later, he reinvents himself as a gambler named Bunk Allen, which is a cool name.
That's a very cool name.
And so he becomes pretty well known in the zeitgeist. He died in Chicago in 1912, and he had obituaries, not just in the Washington Post, but in the New York Times as well. And according to a trade handbook for the restaurant industry published in 1913, a year after his death, Allott was 14 years old working at a circus in 1872 when he accidentally invented pink lemonade. He was in charge of candy and lemonade concessions. He was kind of the young Casey Pegram of the circus. And
Somehow, we're not sure how, he dropped an entire container of red cinnamon candies into a vat of freshly made lemonade, staining it pink, a similar color to clown pants. I'm just throwing foreshadowing left and right here because it's my favorite part of the story. But the Smithsonian Magazine tells us he knew this kid when he was just 14. He knew the show had to continue. So he said, all right, whatever, I'm going to sell this pink lemonade. And it actually sold better than the original yellowish lemonade people were so used to. But I have a question for you guys here. Wouldn't dumping that container of candy into the lemonade make it taste like cinnamon?
I was thinking the same thing. That's not what you want. That's not refreshing. I mean, cinnamon's got its place in the flavor profile universe.
In warm drinks. That's where cinnamon belongs. I'm sorry to sound kind of absolutist about this. Write in with a cold cinnamon drink if you've got one. I'll try it out.
I'd be in. Well, you know, there's Fireball liqueur shots, which is, you know, it's not for everybody, but it is served cold. But I've always found it a little off-putting because it really just, it's like gives you like a, it's like big red gum in alcoholic shot form. But you're right, Ben. I certainly at the very least think people would have noticed if they were used to there. I would have complained, wouldn't you?
I don't know, man, because so much of this is framing. If Bunk is, or the man who will grow to be Bunk, if Bunk is clever enough and keeps his straight face, then people might assume it's on purpose. And it's a novelty. Like, remember the first time you saw Dippin' Dots? Or remember the first time you saw all those other gimmicky candies, like cotton candy? Cotton candy is, it's weird, right? But people are buying it partially for the novelty as children. So I think if he did it with a straight face, this could work, but there's a problem because at the time of this discovery, if this is what happened, red candies had a coloring agent that could be highly toxic. They could have red lead or red vermilion. And then there's the other problem with the story, which we talked about. It's this. It's the same thing the authors bring up in a fantastic Epicurious article. No one has really tried cinnamon flavored lemonade. And if that's how it tasted, and if that really happened, then someone would have replicated it, right? So this tale is probably not all the way true. It's a good campfire story, or it's a good lemonade stand story. But for years before, lemonade had already been sold as the different fruit based varieties we named: watermelon lemonade, raspberry, rhubarb, strawberry, so on, all of which would give it a nice pinkish hue. But there's another legend. I think we should call this one the clown drink.
I like that. Or we could also do it where it's like, submitted for the approval of the Midnight Society. I call this the tale of the circus mishap involving a pair of red tights.
And now we have to pause. Big lemonade got to us. I just got the email. We're going to have to go back and reevaluate some things before we continue revealing the truth about pink lemonade. I guess before we end this one, Noel, Casey, is it okay to play just a clip of that crazy lemonade commercial?
Oh God, please.
It's more than okay. I think it's required. You have to hear this.
I think so too.
I'm a secret lemonade drinker.
Always, always.
I'm not trying to give it up, but it's one of those nights.
Always, always,
always lemonade. I'm a secret lemonade drinker.
There it is. I was looking for a way to insert this in the show. We're just going to put it at the end of part one, because this is part one of the surprisingly disturbing origin story of pink lemonade.
We'll be back this week with part two. In the meantime, huge thanks to super producer Casey Pegram for putting up with us and dealing with all these retroactive two-parters. We love you, man. You're the best. Don't ever change. And we will try to change. I've pledged to do better. But huge thanks to Alex Williams, who composed our theme. Christopher Hasiotis here in spirit.
Big, big thanks to Eves Jeffcoat. Big, big thanks to Jonathan Strickland, a.k.a. The Quister, a.k.a. Young Quizzles, a.k.a. Baby J, a.k.a. Strick. That guy has just racked up a lot of nicknames over time. And I hate to say that I've probably accidentally
been the source of several of those. But assuming the big lemonade lets us continue with part two, we can't wait to tell you how clowns come into the lemonade mix here.
We'll see you next time, folks. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
High Five Casino. High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at highthenumber5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.